Now, a new survey shows that most Americans don't have much of a rainy day fund. According to Bankrate, only 41% would be able to cover a $1,000 car repair or emergency room visit using savings. For those unable to foot that bill, 37% said they'd have to borrow money in some form. In addition, 28% of respondents said they or a close relative paid for a major unanticipated expense in the past year, the average cost of that more than $3,500. So why are Americans struggling with saving, and how can we beef up our own emergency fund? Chris Hogan is a personal finance expert in Nashville and host of The Chris Hogan Show. He's also the author of Everyday Millionaires, How Ordinary People Built Extraordinary Wealth and How You Can Too. Chris, good to have you with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We have this report. So many people don't have that $1,000 cushion for an emergency. Is this a surprise to you at all?
It really isn't, because recent studies have shown that you've got almost 80% of people that are living paycheck to paycheck. And what that means is that if they ever have one check that doesn't show up, they have what's called a situation. So people in America are up to their eyeballs in debt. And what they need is a way out to understand how to have some cushion between them and life. And so it's really important for people to understand you've got to have some money that you can grab when life happens unexpectedly.
We'll talk about how to develop that cushion in a minute, but let's talk about the urgency a little more. It's not hard to rack up $1,000-ish in a car repair, a health bill, a home repair, that kind of thing. This is something that can happen real easy, right?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, you hit the nail on the head with a vehicle or a transmission issue. You have some issues with tires. I mean, getting to $1,000 is not hard. And so looking at this, it really shows how imperative it is that people wake up and shake up what they're doing so they can make some changes.
Now, for people with credit, they might say, no big deal. I'll put it on a credit card, pay it off over time, no problem. What do you say to them?
Boy, I'm going to tell you something. That 98% of people out there have had that problem or are having it. And that's a dangerous thing. You know, to give people a PhD in economics, I tell people this. Interest that you pay is a penalty. And anytime you use someone else's money, they charge you the penalty called interest. But then again, interest that you earn is a reward. And so I think we need to stop being penalized in our lives and put ourselves in a position to be rewarded. That debt is a threat. It steals from you right now, but it also steals from your future. And I need people to wake up and see it for what it is. Don't think that credit card is your friend. It's an enemy with handcuffs.
Chris, people might say, yeah, this all sounds great, but, you know, by the time I add up my rent or mortgage, my food, my gas bills, whatever, there's nothing left to save.
Well, I've been there, and I have experienced it, and I felt that same way. But when I started to dig in and understand the difference between needs and wants, I was able to really make grown-up decisions. And what you need is to take care of your shelter. You need food. You got to have your vehicle, and you got to have clothing. But what we don't need is to go out to eat five nights a week. We don't need the fancy cable stations. We don't need those things. So I would just encourage people to really look at it and understand you are working hard. You are trying to provide for yourself and your family. What I want to do is give you an opportunity to work a plan that not only lets you continue to work hard, but it helps you to work smarter. And then working smarter allows you to make progress.
Now, you recently wrote a piece where you gave some suggestions, kind of a multi-step plan, and step one is build that emergency fund first. How can we make sure we're prioritizing that before we move on to other wants and needs?
Well, I think it's important to have that emergency fund because we've all had life sneak up on us. I had to do a car repair not long ago, and it was a starter, and that starter was $650. And so understanding that life is going to happen means that I want to be able to reach for cash, not credit. And so understanding that I want you to be prepared. I want you to have that cushion between you and life happening. And that's what that $1,000 is. And so how do you go about that? Well, I think we've got more stuff in our closets and in our garages for us to go around and make a list of things that you could sell. Put a dollar amount outside of that. And as you sell those things, that's the beginning of your emergency fund. And then take a look at your budget. Look at the non-essential things that you're spending on, like it's eating out or gifts or clothing or stuff that we buy for ourselves. Let's scale that back and begin to put some dollar amounts and be more intentional with our money. So selling some stuff, being intentional with your budget, you can get to that $1,000 saved.
We're talking to personal finance expert Chris Hogan, author of the book Everyday Millionaires, looking at a new study that says a lot of Americans don't have money set aside for a financial emergency, not even $1,000 set aside for that emergency car bill, health bill, you name it. Chris, when we're setting aside this money, is it okay to just kind of mentally know it's in the checking account the same as the rest of our money, or should we isolate it somehow?
I think it's absolutely imperative to isolate that money. I think it's important to pull that money aside and put it in a money market account. A money market account is going to give you a better rate of savings than a typical savings account. But if you choose a savings account, use that. What I found was this with myself. When I left extra money in my checking account, there's a name for it, and it was called spent. And so I want people to prevent that. And it's not enough to know it's there mentally. We need to tangibly be able to look at a statement or pull it up on our mobile devices and look and see and know that we have it there.
You've been talking about debt a little bit too here. Now, that's a separate issue in some ways from the emergency fund. How do we start to prioritize paying down our various debts? How do we start to do that once we've got that emergency fund, at least, you know, on the way?
Yeah, I think it's important to understand that when you get out of debt, you give yourself a raise. I mean, let's think about that. You don't have to go talk to your employer. You don't have to go talk to your leader or your boss. You can give yourself a raise. And so to prioritize that, I encourage people to list your debts out smallest to biggest. I don't care about interest rate. We're going to focus on the size of the debt. And I want you to make minimum payments on everything else while you throw all extra money at that smallest debt. I have found throughout the 20 plus years of doing this money stuff that when you attack debt, it's about momentum, not math. And when you pay off that little one, you start to believe that you can do this. And the next thing you know, you stay focused and you can continue doing it and you give yourself a raise.
I've read some of your work. You're not saying, hey, everyone, live, you know, in a shack, eating only gruel and deny yourself all the pleasures in life. But you say if you're looking for that big thing, the trip, say, plan it out in advance. Don't get caught by surprise by how much it costs when you get there. How do we do that?
That's exactly right. And I think anytime, I don't have a problem with people doing things or having nice stuff. Once you get yourself out of debt, I want you to have fun, but I do want you to plan for it. And so that comes back to the budget of intentionally setting money aside, whether it's for that vacation. How much are you going to set aside per month for that? Or are you going to work an extra job to bring in the funds to be able to do that? I just want people to use cash. I want you to come back from a vacation with some souvenirs, not a credit card statement.
How about retirement savings? For a lot of people, especially, you know, facing that debt, worried about that emergency hit to their daily budget, retirement can feel a long way away. How do we start to put a dent in that?
I think the biggest thing is understanding that retirement's not an age, it's a financial number. And in my first book, Retire Inspired, that was America's wake-up call to start to see retirement as an opportunity. But I think when you get yourself out of debt and you start to really build up your fully funded emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of your expenses, so that would be adding up, what does it take for you to live on? And I want you to save up 3 to 6 months of that in that money market account. Now you've got a bigger cushion for yourself, even in retirement or as life is happening. And so it's a long way off, but we got to start sooner than later because compound interest is our best friend. It helps money to grow.
I want to talk to you about kind of a, I guess it's more of a psychological issue. I've heard from experts and callers over the years that some people don't even want to start thinking about this. They're scared if they look at their financial situation that it's going to be worse than they think. So there's just kind of a denial out there. How can people get over that?
Well, I think the biggest thing is to understand where you are right now is not where you have to end up. And the only way for us to get better is to engage things. And it's impossible to manage anything you're not aware of. So take the courage and take that first step. Sit down and write down your expenses. Take a look at how much money you're bringing in. Write down your debts and really look at this and make a decision. Are the people in your home, do you love them enough that you want better for them? And I've never met a parent or a grandparent that didn't want their kid or grandkids to have better. Well, the only way we can do that is to work a plan that actually works. And we've helped over 6 million families throughout the years to really get out of debt and be able to build wealth. And I know they can do it because I did it myself.
Chris, that's a great place to leave it. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Chris Hogan is a personal finance expert and host of The Chris Hogan Show. He's the author of Everyday Millionaires, How Ordinary People Built Extraordinary Wealth, and How You Can Too. We talked with him today about American struggles with savings and how we can build up our rainy day funds after a recent survey showed that most Americans don't have enough cash on hand for a $1,000 emergency expenditure. Coming up next week, we've invited all 4 candidates for the 7th Congressional District to join us here on Central Time. This would fill the seat vacated by Representative Sean Duffy. The primary in that race will be held on Tuesday, February 18th. There are 2 Democrats and 2 Republicans who will appear on that ballot. We want to know what questions you want us to ask the candidates and what issues are most important to you. Send us an email at centraltime@wpr.org and let us know where you're emailing from. Again, that's centraltime@wpr.org with your questions for the 7th District Congressional Seat candidates in this spring's special election.